With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Greetings, citizens. The following program is presented by the Nerdy Show Podcast Network. Geeky programming for all nerds across the multiverse. All Nerdy Show programming is made possible by A Comic Shop, Orlando's number one comic shop and nerd destination, Nerdapalooza, the world's largest nerd music festival, and with the generous support of listeners like you. For more Nerdy Show podcasts, community forums, and to learn how you can support this and other fine Nerdy Show programming, visit nerdyshow.com.
Previously on Derpy Show.
So, did you give him the roofie enema?
We have one of those?
That's what the turkey baster's for.
Dear God.
Derpy Show.
I can't flip your couch.
Please don't flip the couch.
Flip the couch.
With Rob.
Flip it.
Fat ass. Why are you so fat with your...
I probably weigh 20 pounds less than you, asshole.
180?
But Rob does have okay, fat
weigh...
ass.
40 pounds less than you.
All right, but this is muscle.
Yeah, but you're
just because strength.
You weigh 40 pounds less than him because you're a skeleton man.
Look at the proportion of his ass to the rest of him, though. Stand up. Show off that.
Give a big butt.
Yeah, twerk for us. Twerk for us.
Nice.
Twerk. I cannot lie.
Do other hobbies can't deny?
Do you have more cushion for the pushing?
Look at his big ass.
So I'm voluntarily
I mean, I have an ass girl, so it works.
Oh, wow.
Derpy Show.
I like this. I like the jit of his. What is it you say? The jit of his grit? The grit of his jit?
What?
The cut of his jib?
The grit of his jit. His jit.
His jit.
What's a jit?
Derpy Show.
Wow, that's a huge bitch.
Derpy Show.
I'm gonna piss in your porridge. Or poop. Whatever comes first. You can't poop without peeing, though.
Derpy Show.
Well, here's your problem. It's alcohol, not chloroform.
So he'll be nice and exciting.
Alkaform.
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 Wonder Twin Powers activate! Form of ethanol!
So did you give him the...
Shape of a whiskey bottle! You know, that might be a funny YouTube series we could do. Wonder Twins, where we find some sort of a situation that happens, like, somebody's getting robbed, and we're like, Wonder Twins powers activate! And we, like, just do
form
that.
Form a taser or something like that?
No, we just throw out two random objects that we think are going to help, and then it's just these objects on the ground while that bad thing is still happening.
I love it. Derby Twins powers activate! Form of a chicken wing!
Shape of a toaster!
And I'm Boar.
I'm DJ Neo Faust.
And we've got a fun-filled show today.
Yeah, we've got a special surprise out in my trunk.
Woohoo! And a lot of music coming up, don't we?
Yeah.
It's going to be bad.
So bad.
Average episode, everybody.
Derpy Show.
Sitting on the couch and we're having fun. It's a Derpy Show and it's come and begun. We're sitting around, Neo Faust has a guitar, and Boar is here and he's the star. But he is always mean to us.
Fuck you!
He's always mean to us.
You guys really suck.
Joe's not here and neither is Miss Terry Guest.
Thank God.
No one's missing them except maybe her breasts. That was kind of crass. I apologize to everyone, but we're just here to have fun. Sometimes at the expense of others.
Sometimes.
Mostly. Derpy Show is here, and now we're going to have a show just for everyone who downloaded it, or iTunes made you download it, or you just streamed it on the net, or you just listened to your friend, or it's being intercepted by some aliens out by Sigma Pi, and then we're there, and now you're here, and now the show is coming soon, and it will never end because it's Derpy Show.
That sucked.
Fuck you. Fucking random ass. Fuck you. You do better with your fucking judging and your fucking shit house.
Yeah, Bor.
Fuck you.
Yeah, Bor. Let's do it. Come on.
You're the one that set me up as the asshole at the beginning. I had to live up to your fucking song.
This is true.
God damn.
It's sort of one of those things that you just conjured.
I conjured it.
You conjured the asshole inside of me.
I created you. Gave fire to your life. And now you can't handle it.
Derpy Show.
Or.
Please don't do that.
Or.
What?
I think I'm turning into an old person.
I think you have been an old person for a long time and now you're just coming to terms with it.
But I finally figured out what's going to make me an old person.
Your 9 p.m. bedtime?
Besides that,
the fact that you go on diets.
Hey, besides I've been that, doing that, like my whole life, I'm not old.
The fact that you drive an old Jaguar.
Besides that, fuck you.
Is it the amount of polo shirts in your wardrobe?
I have to wear business casual for work. God damn it.
You can justify it however you want, man.
Anyway, I think for my next phone, I'm going to buy a BlackBerry.
Why?
BlackBerry's dying. Literally, the company is dying.
Why?
They'll not be able to get the phone for cheap.
They just laid off most of their people, and they reported a $1 billion loss.
Yeah, it's terrible. They may well get the phone for cheap.
Derpy Show.
How about this?
Wait until more done coughing.
Dirtster, someone to hear your herbs, someone who cares.
Wait for it.
Your own personal jerker. I'm not a dirty rapper, a dirty show.
And I said, what about breakfast at Derpy Show?
Oh, fuck, I forgot those chords. If you give me the chords, I can easily play
and she
that.
She said, hey, I remember that film and
I can do this song.
He's like, I got this.
I know the song. I've played it before. I just gotta get the chords right. Give me a second.
And Neil Faust said, what about... breakfast at Derpy Show.
How about breakfast at
that
Denny's?
One time he made some fucked up some simple cooked eggs.
Yeah, probably.
Probably tossed out a bunch of oregano.
So wait, is Neo Joe like?
That's what you
fuse.
That's what you do. The fusion dance.
I like this.
Didn't toss any salads.
Good.
Now, the bad thing is RoboFaust. That's when you guys fuse, but it's the fat, terrible version. You know, if you fuse...
I'm afraid of that.
Right?
Oh, okay. I apparently spelled Beakfest at Tiffanaya.
Beakfest at Tiffanaya?
Beakfest.
Is Beakman there?
And I said, what about Beakfest at Tiffanaya's? It's very folkish and stuff. Folkish Eastern European, so they're like... Womp, 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 womp. Bump, 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 bump
thing was about. He just said if I die, I said I stay alive. If it's a day, is it better by then? It ain't like I said what about. It is a deep night, it's a night, but up. If it's a day, is it better by then? It ain't like
does that sound Russian?
I like that.
It sounded like something.
I don't know what it was, but I liked it a lot. But my fucking thighs hurt.
But yeah, because you say.
Oh, I do.
Sorry, it's beak-faced Epiphanius.
Epiphanius.
Let's misspell some more searches, and we'll see about them.
Wait. Beakfest at Tiffanias. Is that a... Is it Tiffanias the fucking leader of the Night Elves?
Sure. Maybe she makes good breakfast.
Good Beakfest.
Beakfest, yes.
Is that a weird sex move?
Well, I thought Beakfest is what the fucking the quest givers and the barons do when you give them, like, 13,000 hooves and beaks and shit.
Oh.
What do they do with all those hooves?
A stew? Do you get about 30 hooves, throw a potato in there, you got yourself a stew going.
Throw a potato in there, a couple of carrots, maybe you got yourself a stew going.
Is this whole episode going to be Breakfast at Tiffany's?
We want to do it right, though, because we fucking messed it up the first time.
Yes. The mess up was better than anything we're going to follow it with.
No.
You don't know that.
You don't know.
You're just 99% right about it.
Yeah, you are. Oh, yeah, we'll see if I can get this right. G-A-G-D-A.
Okay. Do we really want to waste... He might be right. Do we want to keep focusing on Breakfast at Tiffany's?
You want to just do one good take? Or what?
That's just you trying it. Let's just try it. Let's fucking riff out on this fucking Breakfast at Tiffany's shit.
Here we go. I think I get this right. I think it's D-A-D-A-G-A, whatever. There we go. And 3, 2, 1, and...
You'll see we've got derpy in common. Just derpy ground to start from. This song's not as funny. You'll say that Boar has sat between us, that Neo Faust is guitarin', and Snorlax is sucking it up.
The second verse goes.
Derpy Show.
I want to talk about reboots just in a little bit in general.
As a reboot,
but I've got a couple of really specific gripes.
Do you want to talk specifically about that awesome cartoon with the guy who is blue and he's in the computer?
Yeah, he's an antivirus.
Yeah, Bob.
No, I don't want to talk about that.
So,
80s movies.
80s movies.
80s movies.
Films from the 80s or movies pertaining to the 80s?
Possibly.
Films from the 80s.
Didn't we already talk about this before?
He's got new gripes.
I've got a new gripe.
Okay, back.
He's got a new gripe. Bum bum bada dum bum 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 bada dum bum.
We might have, maybe I brought this up before, but I actually heard that they are going ahead with a Short Circuit reboot.
Now, to be fair, I think reboot is the best term if you're redoing Short Circuit.
Wait, wouldn't a Short Circuit reboot be basically Wally being unleashed on a city?
Johnny Five.
Now, here's the thing about Short Circuit is. In the 80s, we had a completely different idea of what robots were going to be like.
Robotics.
Right.
Exactly.
Like, Johnny Five back in the day was just, like, the most futuristic looking, amazing robot ever.
Also, the understanding of AI, too. I mean, like, why would an AI be all like, I want to be friendly?
Dude, he had a 200 megabyte memory, okay? He was a supercomputer.
Are we going to go with Johnny Mnemonic?
Oh, God, I have a gig. Memory in my head. Ah.
That's not very much.
No, but Johnny Mnemonic. I feel like Short Circuit's one of those movies that it can't be remade because our society is too different, and it's just like...
Wait, there's a movie remake. It's called Singularity, but it's about a machine becoming a human.
There's so many of those! Yeah. It's just not a unique concept anymore for, like, an AI to come back to life. And when it was made, it was, like, one of the first, you know?
Have you seen Colossus? It was one of the first mainstream. Okay, I can say Colossus is a movie.
But, no, I see what you're saying. Like, and the thing about it is that... Unlike some other movies, like Westworld, which it's like attractions coming to life and going crazy or that sort of stuff, this was kind of a comedic poke at the jabs of kind of the misconceptions of what we thought AI would be like or what the future would be like. So now, like, what do we have to take it from now? Like,
we have a pretty good idea of where things can go. Like, and with all the advances we've had... How surprised would you be if you saw, like, Osimo walking down the street?
It's just not surprising.
And we wouldn't give a shit.
That shit happens all the time. We fucking talk to our phones, and they get... And we hurt their feelings when we yell at them.
Wait, question. Did Short Circuit come out before the Terminator series or after?
I wonder
if that was a jab at those, because there's deliberate killing tanks in Terminator 1 that looks exactly like Johnny 5. The treaded tanks with the weird eyes and stuff like that? Was that just a jab also at the dystopic future of what robotics could be?
No. I mean, Johnny 5 was a military robot. Mm-hmm. He was designed to kill things.
Oh, and he got shocked by lightning, or...
Yeah, I think it was lightning.
Yeah, he got hit by lightning, and that...
Releases a string bolt.
Which is stupid. Why would you build a building that doesn't have...
That gave him rounds. Because Johnny 5 was alive.
Okay.
It was like... Nice. It was like the touch of God.
Yeah,
without getting too.
There's a fancy term for that, though, wasn't it? There's like
spark of life,
breath of life.
That's kind of a true breath of life, you know, whatever it is that God is bestowing. Mm-hmm. Whether it is actually God,
he got hit by the all spark.
Sure,
but I mean, seriously, like these days, it's just one of those things that they're not gonna be able to recapture it, or probably even do it in an interesting way.
They're gonna get their money out of people who's like nostalgic. I'm like, I watched that as a kid. Let's bring my kids to watch.
They're not getting it out of me, and it was one of my favorite movies.
You don't have kids.
That's true.
You have cats.
I could take a cat to see it.
Your cat would enjoy it.
But a lot of those '80s movies were just like campy in a way that we're never gonna be able to recapture, like Gremlins. Like, if they made a Gremlins movie now, the Gremlins would be so realistic looking that, it would just, like...
Part of the charm was that it was like a live-action cartoon, almost.
Yeah, that it was like puppets, you know? Like, it was almost like a Muppet movie, almost.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. And that's sort of how Johnny 5 was, too, because he was just kind of, like, ridiculous.
Well,
and...
you know, he'd be all CGI now, so they would never be looking at him, they'd be looking through
Wait,
him.
Are they really wanting to do it CGI?
I'm certain.
No, come on. I mean, bring back the whole animatronics, because animatronics is absolutely amazing right now. Not animatronics, but robotics in movies now. It's just absolutely amazing.
I don't know. Maybe they'll do a combo or something.
They better not make him look humanoid. They better not make him look like a fucking AI.
That's android. What I'm worried about. I'm worried that he's just going to be an android.
At that point, it's the same fucking movie as Bicentennial Man.
Or AI, right?
Fucking AI.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm really hating on reboots these days. Especially because... another thing that they're rebooting that I care a lot about is they're going to reboot Stargate.
Again?
They've only done it once. They never rebooted it.
I thought that the SG-1 was kind of a reboot from Stargate.
No, it takes off right after.
Okay.
Right after? Well, I think it's a year after.
Does the guy ever come back?
Didn't they recast, like, everybody?
They recast everybody, but it takes place a year after the original movie. So nothing was shredded. Like, they didn't reboot. They just kind of continued the story and, like...
Okay, I always thought it was a reboot.
No. So, Stargate has, like, I think 15 years worth of, like, canon stories, maybe more.
The Atlantis and Universe?
17. 17 years worth of, like, story behind it. And they just 2 years ago, I believe, canceled SGU, Stargate Universe. And they cut it off early... But they're just going to say, okay, well, we just canceled that series, and, like, there's a lot of fans that care about this universe, but fuck it. Let's go back to the beginning and change everything.
Well, that's the vibe that all of that everything's been doing for this, for these types of mediums. Like, you look at DC Comics, they just say, you know, we have fucking every 40 years we have history, we're just going to throw it all out and start anew. Because that way, it's all new information, so anyone who gets into the medium won't have to worry about learning stuff from the past to catch up.
Is after Superman punched reality back into order?
How many years do they do that?
DC first did it for, and to big effect, in 1985, I believe, with Crisis on Infinite Earths, sometime mid-80s, I believe it was 85. Crisis on Infinite Earths, which is what they point to.
That was that late 90s, after Death of Superman.
No, Crisis on Infinite Earths is before that.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Are you thinking of, what was that, Zero Hour or something?
I think Death of Superman happens in the early 90s, like 93, 92, I think. I thought all that happened afterwards, because the Infinite Crisis...
I think he's thinking of Zero Hour.
Crisis on Infinite Earths happened in the early to mid-80s.
Okay.
It happened having to do with the Death of Supergirl and a bunch of other stuff. It was all about the crazy multiple universes,
yeah.
And then they were all slammed back together, yeah. And that directly led to
the Death of Superman.
Things from that were leading down to that several years later.
Okay,
well, I mean, I guess like 8 years later.
It leads to Shaquille O'Neal to take over from. Gotcha.
Right, and then like 14 years after that, they're like, "Fuck Zero Hour, we got to do a bunch of other shit and mess stuff up and fix it and do it again because we're already fucked it up." And then, like, okay, cool, we got it figured out, we're doing some good stuff, we've got Hush, Batman books, all the other good stuff, more Robins, all this other crap, we're fucking up, shit, everything's bad, fucking Flashpoint, New 52, everything you know is different, except the stuff that's the same, but we won't tell you what's the same until later. Buy all the new books, everything's in issue number one, buy it.
Starfire's a slut.
It's all in an attempt to capture new markets, because they've learned, and it's our fault. And a little bit.
People feel very overwhelmed.
Well, it's fair for new people to get overwhelmed, because there's a lot of history. That shit happens. And I think they should have newer versions of stories that don't have as much baggage. Like, yeah. There should be Batman books that have for all of the history, and, like, Batman books that are just Batman that you don't really need to know a lot.
So you're saying dummy down comics?
I'm saying they should have both options.
I have sort of a counterpoint.
Well, let me get to what I'm saying real fast, if that's okay. Like, I personally think that there should be, if there's already 9 fucking Batman books, can we have one or two of them that does, you don't have to have a fucking master's degree in Batman to read?
Oh, so just episodic ones that basically...
Right, that anyone can get into to help get you into the medium. That's what has to happen. But these big, but it's our fault, is how I feel, is because most nerds are like, fucking Flashpoint, stupid, New 52, I hate all of this shit, but I'm going to buy 18 number ones this month.
Yeah.
So it's our fucking fault because we let them do it.
Yeah.
So why wouldn't they reboot every 10 years if we're going to buy 10 times as much product that month, and maybe they'll get some new blood into the industry?
Yeah, true.
So I feel like that's what's happened with Stargate.
But, okay, here's the thing with Stargate is I watched the original movie probably around the time when it came out. And
like 93?
Something like 95. That. Yeah, I watched it.
Played the video game.
I watched it back in the 90s.
I had toys.
I completely ignored SG-1 and Atlantis, and I started at Stargate Universe. And I didn't really need any of the background that came from those two previous series. But after I got done with the first season of Stargate Universe, I was like, wow, there's all this extra stuff that I can go back and learn like more about what was going on in the background of this show, because I really liked the show. So I went back and I watched 15 years worth of shows, like, while I was waiting for season 2 to come out.
Okay.
Like, there's all that content there for me to take in, and that's pretty cool, I think. And there's so much in that universe that they could go to, and, like, more stories that they could unfold.
So your complaint is not necessarily the reboot, is just that they're not exploring the world that they already built further.
Yeah.
Okay. So, but when do you put a cap on that?
Oh...
Train break! I was walking down the tracks, and there was a sack. It was filled with a Robo Joe. Train break! It's over!
There's a lot of music in this episode.
Yeah, you got just Rock Lobster in a loop there. Oh, yeah. Plus, the guy that's rebooting it hates all of the series.
that is not the first time this shit happens. I'm a huge fan of the classic Clash of the Titans. Ray Harryhausen with a seat with his claymation and his puppetry and all stop motion is some of my favorite shit in the whole goddamn world. I fucking grew up on it. Fucking Sinbad the Sailor, all that shit. I
Jason
fucking
Argonauts.
Love it. And the guy who made the new one stated, I'm paraphrasing, that he didn't want to remake it. He wanted to make it better than the old version because he thought the old version was crap. So much so that in the middle of the scene, when they're going through the armory, he pulls off Bubo, the metal owl that Athena gave Perseus in the original. And then you're thinking, like, oh, it's going to make a little nod to the original. They throw it over their shoulder and that's a piece of crap. Or right. junk, or something to that effect. Yeah. So he just like, fuck it. Everyone who likes the original, middle finger up, fuck you, you're a douchebag. I'm making this new thing for bros who like Call of Duty and chick with their tits hanging out.
Yeah.
Chicks with and their like, tits hanging out?
I'm all about, you know, maybe refreshing an old thing and making it, you know, more wide appealed to a new audience.
Especially because that's like how everything has always worked.
Yeah, I mean, you know, a lot of remakes I'm cool with. But if it's something that they just canceled 2 years ago and that there's plenty of direction for them to go, it's pretty fresh in everybody's mind, and I don't feel like pulling it off the shelf and dusting it off is really a thing that should be done yet.
Right.
Like, maybe wait a little while, you know? And I feel the same way about the new Star Trek reboots, too. Like, I'm not a fan of those at all.
The movies?
Yeah, I mean, like, they're okay from a movie standpoint, but as a Star Trek fan, I hate them.
Well,
yeah.
Wait, isn't the third one not going to be done by J.J. Abrams? I saw
it's not going to be.
I hope not. God. I almost had, like, some sort of a seizure from all of the lens flares in the
and
last
flashes
one.
And stuff and explosions.
I gotta tell you, as not a big Star Trek fan, I fucking love them. As a Star Wars fan, I fucking love them.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not a huge Star Wars fan.
I was an original series fan, so I don't mind them at all. I think they're fine.
As a fan of pretty much all of the Star Trek series, it's like they cut off Enterprise before they finished that story, and there's plenty of stuff that they could have done, like after Voyager or like in a completely different century than we've even seen before. There's just a lot that they could do, but they're like, let's go blow up Vulcan.
Derpy Show.
Breaking news in the World of Warcraft movie.
Oh, fuck.
This is going to be terrible.
Is Mark Wahlberg in it?
Worse!
Oh.
This person who's just done an audition and is being considered for one of the leading roles.
Live action or CGI?
It's going to be, well, we don't know for a fact. It's supposed to be a live action, mostly film.
Okay.
Directed by Duncan Jones, which is...
Who's that guy?
He directed Moon. He's also the son of David Bowie.
Oh. Okay.
Where the eye patch thrall, where the funky, funky.
So,
David Bowie! Yes, with his freaky nipples.
Based on who this is, I can assume. My guess is that the main character is going to be Varian.
Is Varian?
The king of the humans. Hey, right away. But it's Colin Farrell who's currently being considered for the lead.
Who's Colin Farrell?
I'm okay with that because he's kind of
kind of a prick.
I don't like him.
Colin Farrell was Bullseye in the Daredevil movie. He's been in a bunch of other things as kind of the prick character.
Okay, cool.
He's a good variant then.
Right.
He's
but
kind of a douchebag. Yeah. But yeah.
We don't know for a fact that that's what it is, but when I heard that he's in the pop contention for the lead, I'm like, they're doing variant.
I don't. Why would?
Because it's a story about a human who gets captured by orcs and turned into a monster and fights in the pits and then comes back as king.
Yeah.
So it's not canon to the story, it's a story within the universe?
We don't know yet.
Oh,
but that is a canon
story.
Thrall's story
would have been better.
But I got a feeling people will not resonate with orcs, which pisses me off because fucking Loktar Orgar.
The founding of Orgrimmar.
I'm with you, man.
But the Forsaken.
The bad guys! They're bad guys.
The Forsaken?
Are bad guys.
They're not bad guys.
They're bad guys. They want to kill everyone and turn them into the undead.
They just want... That's how they procreate.
Right, okay. are viruses bad guys?
Are humans bad guys?
Yes!
Okay.
So I'm just saying. Forsaken are sentient viruses, basically?
Yes!
How are the Forsaken any worse than the Alliance, then?
Because the Forsaken develop a plague.
Wait, I thought the Forsaken basically were just human spirits trapped in...
They are undead, that woke up and broke free of the Lich King's control.
Okay.
However, then under the leadership of the Banshee Queen and
she resurrects more.
Royal Apothecary Society, they start making more. So they kill humans and resurrect them as undead and press gang them into the army.
Oh, because I thought they were just like humans who had unfinished like business.
Nope. They are literally plagued by the curse of undeath.
Wow. But they're nothing like their human form.
They can kind of remember stuff.
Okay, but they're not them anymore.
After they're soaked in plague juice and come back to life, they're usually okay with it.
Right.
They're like, oh, okay. I mean, like, I can think of an exception or two. Like, what's her name from the Cataclysm?
Oh, yeah, what's her face? She's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, we had to kill her, and it was sad.
Yeah, she was, like, the only one that was not cool with her transformation.
Derpy Show.
Hey, Boar, I got the present!
All right, bring it in.
Drag him in. Why doesn't this stuff not work?
Hey guys, so we at Derpy Show have a very special treat for you tonight. Isn't that right, Boar?
That is right. We have kidnapped a special guest.
Yes, and who is that special guest?
Professor Shy Guy.
Ooh, say hi, Professor Shy Guy.
Hi, get this tape off my nose.
He's not very shy.
Well, that's because he's been screaming to get free for a couple hours, but I think his voice is hoarse enough that we can take the tape off and you'll be able to interview him. Right, Neil Faust?
Yeah, well, what exactly is he a professor of?
I guess we'll have to ask him. Remove the tape!
All right.
The reason the professor is there is because if you Google Shy Guy, you will not find me. You'll find everything else. And then when my nephew was being born, I was like, Uncle Brant. I have 3 syllables to work with. He'd call me Uncle Brant. So I had him call me Professor because I thought it was funny. So until he was like 7 or 8, he'd call me Professor. And he still will, but he gets the joke now.
That's pretty rad.
Yeah.
You're very cooperative for a kidnappy. I didn't have to drug you.
I mean, I'm doing what you want so that you'll let me go.
Oh, touche.
Smart.
Very stock cooperative. Him.
Nice. I'd say I love
him. We properly motivated him when he was in the trunk of the car.
Yeah.
Anally.
I've already
done this screen. Whoa!
Wow!
Whoa!
You went really dark! He's our guest!
Orally. Anal and oral are different things.
Right. Well, sometimes you need to do like the brain drug enema, basically. You have to enema him with the brain drugs.
Anyway, you're in
biology, just be damned. It's going to be one of those little space slugs from Wrath of Khan. So
perfect. Okay, that works.
Are you talking about the earwig?
Yeah. All right, so you wanted to ask him some questions.
I have a few questions. So, okay, that's your origin, your name, cool. And so, what are you, a professor of artistry, or what do you do?
Oh, word, science, like an elementary school professor, where I do everything that I, you know, the whole class. Because I have songs about science, and I have songs about words, and I have songs about video games.
So you
have
songs are a musician.
Yes.
What kind of musician?
A chiptune, sort of. Chiptunes are part of it. I also play guitar and play drums and play keys and sing the song parts. Now, I basically compose them. I don't use any samples or anything. I compose all the stuff from scratch.
Now, what is chiptunes?
It's not what I do. I call it chiptunes because that's a sound that I'm going for. Mm-hmm. Chiptune being the chips from like NESs and all these and Commodores and all these things to have the familiar sound from your childhood.
So then the next question I have to ask for people that are privy to the chiptune thing, are you a fake bit artist or a hardware based artist?
Fake bit. Now,
and you say that with pride. Some people get angry when you accuse them of fake.
Some people, theory. No. Because I am. I can't get offended. There's a purpose for it.
A cleaner 8-bit sound? I mean, agree with you. A better arrangement?
I would love... it's so I can control the chip sounds with a MIDI controller keyboard.
Yes,
so I can play the keys on stage. Mm-hmm. And I can bend them and tap them so they sound cool and make the dying sound just by running my finger up and down the keys and playing the stuff. I want to be able to manipulate them on stage.
So it's a little bit more about your instrument. Like, you're one for the sound of this, but your instrument's more of, like, the piano and the guitar as opposed to actually being a Game Boy.
Yeah. Which, and I mean, it is a lot easier to compose. I'm not going to lie.
It's
easier to compose in Reason.
Some of the hardware trackers are really just quite beasts of their own to deal with. Especially
God. Fucking the stuff that Danimal does blows my goddamn mind.
I can't do that
with a easy setup. He's of course very good.
He usually has about 2 Game Boys at a time, I think. On
and then he just shreds. Is he a Nano Loom or a DJ?
I think he uses LSDJ.
Okay, then yeah, and that's hell of a stretch. Because I mean, like, even for just four channels of things, or technically eight if you combine the two Game Boys together.
Yeah,
four channels of stuff to work with. Holy crap, that's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, he's doing a different thing, but he gets those really complex, awesome rhythms and all the time signatures and that really fucking stiff setup that he has. Like, the stiff framework he's put in, he can still make super complex, awesome stuff with it.
But so, I guess, as being an artist with a chiptune sound, do you ever get kind of the purist kind of, you know, trolling you or yelling back at you for being a fake bit artist?
No, I'm sure they're out there, but yeah. I haven't run into any of them.
Well, in the chiptune scene I've dealt with, at least, they've been just like, oh, you're either a hardware enthusiast or you're a fake bit software guy that makes it to
the I'm not trying to lie to anybody, so I think that's awesome. Like, yeah, they'll accept it.
Unlike most chiptune people, though, he actually, like, sings and...
I know, right? He does more to it, yeah. Is that what Amamata Gucci does? They never sing. What? No. You're an idiot.
Yeah, no, I mean... I'd rather somebody be like, you're like Anna Monoguchi rather than a DJ. Mm. And again, I understand why people think I might be a DJ, but people are always surprised when I'm not. Mm-hmm. And I get it. I'm not. It's one of those pet peeve things where it's just, I'm not mad for people at people for thinking that. Mm. Of course they're going to think that. It's electronic type music, but they don't know that I'm singing. A lot of times they just think that I'm sampling stuff, mixing it, and finding people to sing, but I'm not sampling anything. Mm. I'm composing it all and singing it myself and stuff like that. So it works against me. And in my favor. So, like, it works against me because people will just think that I'm a DJ and they won't be quite as interested. But when they think that and then they see me, they're so much more impressed than they should be. Because they expect so much less of me.
I was going to say, that's a pretty big compliment because essentially it's like saying, you know, oh, I thought he was just, you know, pushing a few buttons on a computer, but then when you're actually singing and playing a guitar and playing the piano, that's like, holy shit, this guy's doing everything.
Yeah.
It's not a computer putting it together, it's him putting it together.
Yeah.
And I'd say if someone thinks that you're a machine, that's a pretty good compliment.
Yeah. Yeah.
You are your
own. Well, yeah, they don't think I'm a machine as much as they think I'm a thief.
Ouch. Oh. Well, here, this goes into a way earlier debate we always have here, but no matter what we do in the music or art field, it's a remix of everything that we've been influenced by.
Yeah, of course. Well, there is that, And again, like, I'm not...
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found. That project manager I could never seem to hire? And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm not knocking DJs by any means. Like Roborob fucking killed it last night. Mm-hmm. I just don't do that. Like, I don't want to be called like something else that I'm not. Like it's just calling me something that's different.
So then I probably should ask this right off the bat. What started this whole project? What was the
Genesis?
Yeah, the Genesis. That's better.
So I have a band as well called the Aeronauts, and I love it. And it's where my more like introspective, like if I'm going to sit down with an acoustic guitar and write about my feelings, kind of thing. Like it's still very fun, and it's still like exciting and like energetic and dramatic. But I have that, and I was like, I want a solo act as well, and I want to still do like, well, I'll get to that. So I wanted a solo act because I want to play music all the time. I want to try and make a living in music, and doing it with a band is very tricky because it's split four ways for each band member, and then a fifth for the band fund.
Well, think about creative too, like who's the creative, pushing there as well.
Well, yeah, I mean that was me for a long time, and then like some of the new members I'm starting to write with, which is awesome because first song that me and Brian, the violinist / guitarist / keyboardist, he's a multi guy, kind of like I am. The song that we wrote together is me and the drummer's favorite goddamn song, period. Either way, so I had that, and I wanted a solo thing because I want to play music all the time. Mm. I want to be, and it's hard to do it with four people's schedules, and like travel costs are way up because we'd have to rent something to fill our shit in.
Herding cats.
But then I have my Ford Crown Vic, and I can fit all my everything in there. I can fit all my gear, I can fit the drums, I can fit the merch and everything in my car. My suitcase, if it comes to me, I can travel anytime I want and do that. And at the time, I was waiting tables at P.F. Chang's, and it was really easy to get off days of work as long as you had 2 weeks' notice to, like, always get off. So it was very easy for me to travel and do that. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to have something that I could travel with and play music and still do full stage shows, which is why I brought the drums, I brought the guitar, I brought the keys and all that stuff. I didn't want to be me and an acoustic guitar. And again, I wanted to make it very different from the band, so I was like, subject matter is going to have to be different. I don't want to take songs that I would write for that and then just pour them to fucking electronic solo stuff. So I started writing geeky things because I love, obviously, these things. Also, I love conventions, and I figured if I could, like, try and make a thing to play at conventions, then I can get to go to conventions for play. Yeah, basically go to conventions and then play at conventions and just, like, make the find the fans that I want. And like, know how to take what I'm making to the fans that would want to hear it, or to the people that would want to hear it, and sing about geeky things. Because I have plenty of stuff in my brain, like, to feed from. Plenty of resources to gather in there to turn into songs.
Well, that's cool.
RTS so, style.
It appears the ether's working through him. He's really just loosening up. And
very at home. Well, speaking about music, though, it makes me, the way you thought about it, the way you brought it up, it makes me think about how you really typically, there have been a lot of bands that have made it really big and have gone been made very successful.
Yeah.
But when you look at the most successful artists of all time, you're looking at mostly solo acts. You're looking at Michael Jackson, you're looking at Elvis, you're looking at Elton John. Sure, you have the Queen and the Beatles and Led Zeppelin floating in.
Yeah.
But I would say you get a lot more solo acts that are probably more memorable, maybe not more memorable, but like
Justin Bieber.
Justin Bieber. But
kill yourself.
But even like even Madonna.
That's a trickster. More to him. He loves Bieber.
Hey, he's got Bieber fever.
I've got the fever, man.
Oh, I switched your tea out. That's what happened. Sorry.
But I mean, it's easier as far as it goes. The audience is. It's easier to connect to one person than it is to four. Like to identify with one person. Like it's a thing. And like you know Robert Plant. You know.
Jimmy Page.
Well, yeah. I'm just thinking like the frontman. I was gonna say Dave Matthews, but
it's his Dave Matthews band. Man.
It's his goddamn thing.
But Freddie Mercury.
You know Freddie Mercury. You know Mick Jagger and all these things, and of course you know the other members as well. But then like you know the guitarist. I don't know the drummer for the Stones.
Drummer and bassist are usually like
forgotten.
Who knows?
Sadly,
same with the Beatles. Like
unless
when the Beatles split their
Fall
own
Out
thing.
Boy. And I didn't know who sang what or did what. Just like Pete Wentz is the only guy. That's all I knew. I figured. I just assumed he sang because that's the name that I heard. But
well,
it's not.
And they all kind of look the same. So
Stump, Stumpy, Stump,
Stump,
Stump. Patrick Stump, I think, is the singer.
Okay.
Stump, and he's kind of stocky, so that works.
Well, and even in the creative process too, it's only you doing everything. You don't have to bounce it off the ideas of like a band going about and saying like, well, that's not our feel, that's not our genre. But like, well, I want to go out and do something else, and I'm creating this thing.
So, well, that can happen. That can be good and bad.
Yeah,
for sure, it can be good and bad to have four people focusing.
So it's kind of like a little bit of a kind of almost like similar to the difference between say a monarchy and like
an ego boost.
But if you're looking at like say a true monarchy, a true monarchy, and say a parliamentary government.
Yeah.
If there's a monarchy, if there's a dictator, whatever you're looking at. Things go, whatever they want to do. If they're going to war, if they're doing this, it just happens.
Yeah.
And then when you start having more systems, more things going through, it just slows everything down. So there's pros and cons to both. One, there's more balance, there's more ideas, more coming through, but things have to go through more committees.
I like the Zelda.
But the other one, I'm not saying you're a dictator.
No.
I just
want. Like, but dictator point's got its ship. Well, dictatorship's got its point. Wow.
Dictatorships do have their points sometimes. Throw that one out there. But it's interesting to me. I just never really put those two things together. It popped into my head right
now. Oh, yeah, no, when I want it to happen, it happens. And it is less red tape. Like, if I want to get something out and go do it, like, I don't have to gather up the attention of three other people and do it. And then again, there are definitely benefits to it, but there's definitely benefits to being able to get shit done and have it done when I get it done, kind of thing.
I think that's inspired me. I need to get rid of you guys.
Yeah.
I didn't even want to come here tonight.
Wow. I'll go off and do other things. I'll see you around the world, guys. I'm gone. Wait, no, not yet. I don't have a ride.
Why you guys always holding me back?
Turn sandwich.
Why do you gotta bring a Yoko into here? God.
I really want to get into, like, experimental podcasting, alright?
Yeah.
We're just gonna release four.
Episode 4, mayonnaise.
Well, yes. It'll just be 60 seconds of silence with one, you know, fart on a snare drum at the end.
Wow, I'm John Cage of you.
Fart on the snare drum?
Oh, always. And then we'll release, over the course of 6 days, 700 5-second clips. Ooh. Of previous episodes that rearranged tells a new story.
TJ Miller.
And then we'll remix them in a Philip Glass style, like, weird pattern that tells a completely different story. Stories. I'm in. Let's do this.
No, you're not in.
No, I'm not.
You can do that on your own. We're all going solo now.
He
has inspired us to go solo.
What? So you're David Lee Rothing me.
Yeah.
I'm the front man and you're kicking me out.
Yeah.
We'll see how this goes, Sammy Hagar.
Yeah, everybody loves David Lee Roth more than Sammy Hagar.
Isn't it weird that of all the people, Van Halen gets inducted and the only people that show up are Sammy Hagar and David Lee Roth? Like, the actual Van Halens don't show up to get inducted in the Hall of Fame.
Anyway, isn't that the same thing going on with, I can't remember what band got that Filipino guy as their singer now on tour. There's this Filipino guy that applied to be a singer. Was it Journey? I think it was.
No.
Something. I know what you're talking about.
Band. No, it's not Journey. Boston. Is it Boston?
Is it Queen?
No.
It's Journey?
Okay, Journey. Yeah. This Filipino guy sent in a video applying for the lead singer position for Journey, and he got it. And apparently people are saying he's way better than the original. And I'm just like, how?
It can't be Journey. Nobody's...
Steve Perry?
I know,
like,
right?
Well,
some people I've talked to that went to his concert, like, it was amazing. And I'm like, well, how old were you when you first saw the original singer, and how sober and or in tune with reality were you?
How high were you?
There are some bands that I can see, like, if they got a different singer, it'd be like, he sings better, but I don't know if he'd be the same spirit. But Steve Perry isn't one of those.
Touche.
That I would see them.
He's
one of those singers. He's one of those guys that people go to as an example.
Well, it's going back to Van Halen. Like, Van Halen with David Lee Roth and Van Halen with Sammy Hagar are completely different bands.
Yeah.
They just, like, Dreams and Hot for Teacher don't sound like they're from the same band all.
Did it happen with Alice in Chains, too? Like, after the lead singer, I think, died, they got a new singer as well, too?
Yeah, but then they fell off.
Jerry
Cantrell sang, I think, for a while, which makes sense because he was one of the singers, but he wasn't Lane.
Mm.
I don't know. The focus dropped off of him, I think, whenever Lane Staley died.
This guy's cool. I like this Chains.
Like, we have like a kind of pseudo intellectual.
Rarely I could ever drop that. People go on with the names and see. I'm going solo with this guy.
Wait, solo with this guy.
Solo with my solo guy.
We're not a pair. We're not a partnership.
We're solo.
Wait. We're solo, and you guys are solo doing your Philip Glass thing.
Yeah, apparently we're both two solo duo groups.
We're all going to perform at the same time on the same stage. It's cool.
Yeah.
Right. Not a band.
There's a comedy of sound. It's great. Yeah.
Sounds of iced tea being stirred.
We'll be left.
We'll just call it a collaboration that happens all the time.
I like that.
Isn't that how most rap groups form?
Derpy Show.
I got a lot of problems with RoboCop. I can go on a little rant here about RoboCop.
Are you with the original RoboCop?
All right. No. Oh, the new RoboCop.
New RoboCop.
I got problems with the new RoboCop.
Okay?
Here's a couple problems. Number one, he's got a fucking human hand.
I know. I'm trying to hold back stuff.
Okay. Here's the point of RoboCop.
Yeah, wasn't he just completely dismembered?
He's
like
a RoboCop.
He was like a torso with like a
face. It wasn't even his head. They cut his face off and put it over the robot face.
Okay. It's a brainstem, basically.
Yeah.
I thought there was a scene where he was just like a guy just laying there like a head and a torso.
Yeah, but they didn't build the parts around him, just around his brainstem.
Yeah.
They
even at one point in the original, they're like, oh, he had his arm. Well, we were able to save the arm. Like, nah, hack that shit off.
Okay. Yeah.
So maybe this movie is like a direct, like, fuck you to the original script.
Why
would you want to put fucking robot parts around an arm when you have a robot arm there?
Maybe because it's a jab in the sense that...
In the new one, fuck that. But in the old one, like, it makes sense for him to just be like...
It's a jab that, you know, truly the human machine is better than the artificial machine.
Well, I feel like they're trying to make a different statement with the new one. Like, the original one was all about how, you know, corporations take over, and behind the thin veneer of humanity, there's some sort of machine behind it, and it's this cold heartlessness that's taking over society, and so you have to try to find your heart, no matter how deep and cold you've become, and do better, which is like what RoboCop's about, which is why it's awesome sci-fi.
Yeah, Romero's good.
Right. Mm-hmm. Now, so the problem with having a human hand, it kind of, you start changing the theme of the movie. Now, maybe that's what they're doing, and maybe it won't be so terrible, but is the theme now that, like, the machines are controlling humanity. Like, what is that?
You
what
have to
is
keep this a grip mean? On your humanity?
Oh, I saying, yeah,
yeah. Because now they're
controlled by our devices.
Nah.
Yeah. What's that?
Well, they do deal with more drone technology in this one because another thing that they kind of missed the jump on in the original RoboCop movie was the prevalence of drone technology in warfare, and now that they're signing it in, or have already signed it into public domain, we're using drone technologies in system-based kind of like policing. So the same thing, they're pushing that in well in the new movie. But another thing I noticed too is that the reason why I remember hearing on the commentary, I believe, I may be wrong on this, but they picked... what's his name now? I can't remember the actor's name that played RoboCop.
Peter Weller.
Peter Weller. Yeah. Was because his face wasn't necessarily Mr. Beautiful like the new RoboCop is.
Yeah.
He's kind of got that little pretty looking face going on, which is kind of like...
It doesn't look gritty.
It doesn't look gritty enough, basically. Yeah, yeah. Just it's like
the
new.
Well, the whole
gritty.
Movie looks fucking clean.
Well, it's Crisis the movie. Crisis armor.
Now,
around jumping.
I'll give it that. I get why it's clean. Like, to me, it makes sense. Because, like...
You're going with the realism of design, so if they wanted to make a machine that could not fall down fucking stairs like the original, like, walking...
it's just modern sensibilities. Like, in the 80s, that's what sci-fi was.
Yeah.
Also, you can't get darker than, like, Detroit in 1985. I've said this a couple times. But you just can't.
Yeah,
like, crack is terrible.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just not going to get darker than that. So now they have to kind of go with the Apple future, where everything's cut corners and silver. Right.
I think...
Classic.
Once again, the drone state is what they're pushing with. That whole dystopic kind of just everything is monitored deal.
Now, if they're going to base it off of, like, future Detroit from now's standpoint, is Detroit just going to be completely fucking empty? Is he going to be patrolling anything?
Well, to be fair...
Where is that Detroit?
Even if it's somewhere... I'm okay with them retooling the entire remake. I'm okay with that. Dread, that worked out for that, because the old movie, I'm glad they didn't reboot the Stallone version of that. They just took a whole different take on it. And Dread's fucking awesome. I love Dread, and I remember looking it up to see if there was going to be more, and it didn't do that well in theaters, but did well on sales, and they were like, probably not. And apparently I just heard that
potentially yes.
Oh, I want that because
I heard they're wanting to go outside the city walls.
That's exactly what I want because I was like, I love the dystopic, like I love the
apocalyptic
thing that they had, the setup they had, and I was like, I love this movie, but it's like, it is, if it's the intro movie, then yes. But like, I wanted them to be outside and everywhere. They were trapped inside the building, and again, story wise, it worked. I loved it, but it was like. Guilty pleasure, me wanted him to be in that city.
The whole world.
The whole fucking world. Okay, so here's another problem with RoboCop for me. The fucking flip up and down visor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, fuck that.
Like, that's more things that, like, this movie's not about sci-fi. This movie's about having a pretty guy behind a mask that we can flip up
all
the time.
Did they have to have a machine remove it last
time? Yeah, but he had to physically... He had to, like, physically use a drill to go into it. And this is the thing that dehumanized it, because the drill that he put into there went straight into his head.
Yeah.
And he pulled it out and basically could take off the mask. It wasn't easy, like, pop on, pop off.
Yeah. It was serious business. And that was, like, part of the point.
Now, is he going to get shot in the face this movie? Because in the original, like, three movies, forget the four miniseries stuff.
We're ignoring the three as well.
We'll forget the
third
one.
Like, there's so many of them now.
Well, there's
like three is where it ends for me, and not that it's great, but I fucking love it. That's the perfect kind of, like, bad B-movie that I really enjoy.
Oh, don't watch this.
Where a guy melts and gets run over. I mean,
attacking the robot, making it fucking...
Well, but why did they never shoot him in the face? Because as a little kid, I thought, his face is still made of, like, flesh and stuff. So why don't they shoot him in the face? And they managed to shoot all these manners of bullets at him, and nothing ricochets off his face. Nothing hits his face. Hits his visor left and right. Nothing in the face.
Well, I'll be honest, with the original RoboCop, considering how little of him is human, maybe that's not even actually him. Like, that skin could be face. So I just don't like the flip up, now he's pretty, flip down, now it's time to get serious. Because if RoboCop can choose when to be himself... Does that defeat the point of RoboCop?
Yeah. That's why Dread never takes off his fucking mask. Ever in the goddamn movie.
Because the mask is him.
Yeah. That's the thing. A conflicted sort of thing with RoboCop? Because, like, they're trying to override his personality, so they don't want him to be himself.
Yeah.
But wouldn't him taking off the mask be more of him
trying to get out.
It would be, but that's why it's so hard for him to do it in the old one.
And that, well, that's the whole point. That whole scene is he takes the drill, you were saying. He drills out the thing that controls his brain and takes off the mask. It's like he finds his humanity again.
But the minor detail is that drill bit goes really deep into his head. Well, just thus showing that, oh, he's in, you know, really not really a brain there.
Yeah. Point being that he would want to remove that. I mean, I guess they didn't, you know, lock his face down like they originally did.
Yeah, and the new one is like, I'm here.
But they, I mean, depending on how they do it, that could be like a symbolic thing of him, like.
So it's like a Bourne Elysium. It could be. Because it's just a fucking enhancement suit, and it's not. They're not. It looks like they're just enhancing him and not taking control of him.
But how does he die?
He was so inhumane in the old one.
How does he die in the new movie? Do they, like, blast him to bits, or is he just, like.
I don't even. Crushed? The trailer shows a little bit of it. No. And that can bring me to my third fucking point.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Feminist Chan is going back on this one, because this is what it's all about for me in a second. Mm-hmm. Fucking RoboCop has a strong female police officer. Officer, I believe her name's Ann Lewis, or Annie Lewis. Mm-hmm. There's a, in this opening scene of the trailer.
Or was it Murphy?
That's the main character.
Yeah, he's Murphy. Murphy, yeah.
His partner was Ann Lewis.
Yeah, okay.
Middle of fucking trailer, all this shit goes down, two officers die. Murphy and Jack Lewis. So not all, just a rather random dude. Annie Lewis isn't cast in the movie. They've added RoboCop's wife, who in the entire trailer is either cooking or crying.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, so we're taking out a strong female character who was his partner that we worked together with.
Yeah.
And are replacing her. Right. We didn't live through multiple movies.
Yeah, yeah.
And we're replacing her with a pre-damseled character. It's just like, ugh. And you can't have two women in the movie, because heaven forbid, you have two fucking women in a action movie.
You have a foil for a weak woman.
Right. No.
How dare you. I'm sad. I mean, but at least the action scenes look like RoboCop's not going to be this walking pedestal of can't walk upstairs efficientlyness.
Right. So, I'm okay with him being more efficient, but he's also more human.
That's true. But the thing that always got me, as a kid, I loved the movies, but then the older I got, and I got more into a lot of, like, you know, engineering theory and stuff like that, so I'm just kind of like, why would you throw millions of dollars into a thing that is not mobile? And, I mean, I guess they implied it to be a tank, basically.
Yeah, it's a tank. Because it didn't matter.
Yeah, it just does that, but it just body. Still, yeah. It just, when you want something stealthier, speedy, and efficient. And so I'm just kind of like, okay, but was it Ed 209?
They couldn't imagine it in the 80s,
fucking,
though.
Oh, man, it's an all-terrain, except for stairs.
Yeah,
the murder machine. Watch out now. He can't turn his torso without turning his legs.
Shit, waist-high walls.
No. I'm still excited to give it a chance.
All right, I'll see it.
Yeah.
I pledge when it comes out, I will tell you how I feel about it when it comes out. But I'm just, ugh.
Derpy Show.
I mean, I'm a sucker for Rotten Tomatoes. Like, generally, it's like, it gives you a good idea. But there's some movies that I love that it doesn't. Right. That the people don't. Of course, it's 50-50. That means, you know, 50% of the people liked it. Words are my friend. I sing about fucking words. I can't speak them.
Welcome to my
world. Yeah. But, I mean, yeah, like, Dredd's got a good review on, like, it's got a...
Yeah,
I loved Tron Legacy. I enjoyed the shit out of it.
I love Tron Legacy.
I don't know if people... understand the, like, again, I understand why people, like, everybody doesn't love it, but I don't understand why so many people don't love it, or don't like it, or don't give it a positive review, give it a negative review. I don't understand how that's the majority. Well,
I felt the same way about Conan. Like,
The new one!
I never saw it.
But see, to me, I'm like, it's exact, if I'm gonna pay money to buy go see a ticket for Conan, it felt enough like Conan to be Conan, to me. Is how it was. Like,
I can see that, yeah.
I'm the kind of guy that's going to buy a ticket to see Tron Legacy. So, it was good enough.
Yeah.
So, like, if someone who's like, ah, I don't like sci-fi, Tron Legacy sucked. Well, of course you're not going to like Tron Legacy if you don't like sci-fi.
Of course, yeah.
Well, it's sort of like with comedy movies on Rotten Tomatoes, they always have, like, if they're above 50%, I'm usually surprised. Because some people's, like, sense of humor is so different that... like, they always get mixed reviews.
A lot of subjective, yeah. Ones that rely on the comedy solely... are going to probably get lower reviews, but ones that have story that have comedy or other ones that live through it. Gotcha. I like the little synopsis, the little overview they give right under the... It's usually nice. It's usually I set the mood.
And I also like, it says things like, critics felt this. Audience members that saw it felt this.
Yeah.
People
sometimes it's like a huge difference.
Yeah, it's like the critics hated it, but everyone who saw it was like, this movie's fun!
Yeah.
I feel like that's what Dredd was. Although Dredd had a good score on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah.
Because it's not overly long. It starts off without much more bang than, hey, we're in a city, it's time to get shit done.
Yeah.
Then you immediately get into one mission, see it through, have a gritty one-liner, and it's credits. It's exactly what it needed
to be. Yeah, and it's campy without being fucking too like, hey, guess what, we're campy. No, it's campy just enough, and it's dark. It's pretty fucking violent.
Yeah. It's excellent.
Yeah, it is.
The campiness is more of a tip of the hat to the old one.
Though. Yeah.
It's not like...
Or like to the comic. Like, the comic is campy.
Yeah.
And dark, and it's gritty, and that kind of fit it all in there without being... Like, I like a good bit of campy, but I don't like... Like, even the movies that are, like, so, like, we are aware that we're campy and we're gonna be funny and campy, it's still a little too fucking dry for me sometimes.
Then how did Pacific Rim do though? I mean, cause I know internationally really did great, but great how about, you know, locally?
Here I don't think it did quite as fantastic.
Critics, America wasn't the hero.
There are a lot of problems with it, and not with the movie, with the time it was released. Mm. We're going through a period of what they often refer to as blockbuster decay, which is when there's just been so much fucking explosions and Superman and smashing and big things that people are just like, oh great, a fucking robot, I don't care. So the mass populace didn't go for it.
Yeah. I have to admit, like, I didn't give a shit about it until you drug me to it, and I was like, this is amazing.
No, see, I was, like, lukewarm on, like, the... Like, I love Guillermo del Toro. I love del Toro, but, and I like big, giant sci-fi, but if something, I was like, I just don't know. Because I watch Transformers, it bores the fuck out of me. Watching a CG robot fight a fucking CG robot and with bad script, I'm just like, I'm gonna go to sleep. For $13.
You should watch G-Savior.
That's like, so good.
I couldn't
or Robot Jocks. That's a great movie.
But on this point, man, I just have to trust del Toro, man.
Yeah,
no matter what. Fucking The Orphanage is one of the few movies that fucking scared the shit out of me. Without jump scares, like just tension and terror.
I want to slap whoever he had as a technology, like, you know, a liaison, because the home dude that said, I'm in an analog Jaeger, you're a fucking retard. A fucking retard.
Yeah. Whoever wrote that had no idea what analog is.
I know. I'm just like, what the fuck do you mean? You're upset some system.
It had a nuclear reactor.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that was their term. It was nuclear.
It's got gears. This is a fucking steam-powered robot.
Meanwhile, there's just computer displays.
I'm just like, oh, yeah. They don't link up to
neural interfaces.
Oh, yeah, no. That's analog. It's all
really
analog.
Complex neural interfaces. That was steam, dude.
It's steam. Totally steam. It's all analog. I just, because when they said it, I'm like, oh, what the fuck? The fucking sword button. Why didn't you use it right after?
Oh, there was a sword button.
Yeah. Pull my memory. Bam. Just what? Does it.
I also just don't believe that all these governments went, I think the wall will work.
Seriously.
But
it's gonna be tall enough.
But I feel like that was more an homage to the classic, like, Godzilla loser.
Exactly.
I'm the government guy. We should build a rocket. It never works. So you gotta call Mausinger. You know.
Yeah, I liked it. I enjoyed the hell out of it. And Charlie Day was in it. And I love him
and so much.
Right.
See, yeah, I didn't know enough about the movie, and that was a huge surprise for me. I was like, holy shit.
My mind exploded.
And he's so weird. Like, he's just weird enough. Like, his whole subplot is so different from the rest of the movie.
Yeah.
Going and hanging out with Ronald Man, like, talking about shit, picking up lice, killing babies.
He's a fanboy thing. Rumors that he's going to be in the second one as the villain, which I make sense, because he's like, he doesn't want them to fucking be gone ever, then his shit's gone. He never gets to see him again.
He's worthless,
His
life's work!
Yeah.
How anime-esque. That's very true.
Well, that's obvious. That's an obvious.
Now, here's something that
he needs to direct the Gotcha Man movie coming out. The War of the Planets.
You know, that's already out. Apparently, it's not great, but really pretty.
Okay, who's the guy that directed the movie that was Kashyyyk? The Kashyyyk movie?
That's what he directed. I know exactly
what
you're
talking about. If there was a Mega Man movie, that guy should direct it. Yes. And it should be exactly like that.
What, that one weird guy who made his whole main Mega Man movie wasn't good enough?
That was cool.
I do love it. Yeah, it's awesome.
I feel like the whole look and the way all the fights are done should be exactly like that, because the way Kashyyyk would just run through all the robots and just like, just make a goddamn Mega Man movie.
Yeah. But Mega Man's not about the giant hordes in one spot, which was super cool and concerned.
It was.
It was such a neat movie, such a fucking stylistically cool movie.
So speaking of kaiju, you know who's hopping on the bandwagon? A, Sci-Fi Channel. B,
another G Gundam Savior movie?
No. Brian Singer, the guy who directed the first two X-Men,
Yeah.
is like, oh, BT Dubs, we're gonna make a Sci-Fi Channel series about kaiju. Totally not the same thing as Pacific Rim, but exactly the same as Pacific Rim.
But I'm Ryan Singer and not Del Toro.
Like, yeah. It's a full series, not just like a miniseries movie.
Well, it's Sci-Fi Channel, so
it's not gonna be Ultraman.
They might plan
it. Ultraman.
What's a Sci-Fi Channel series? So they might plan for it to be a series, but it
and
might
then it'll turn into wrestling,
right?
Oh god, Kaiju Big Battle, yay! Translated,
canceled for wrestling.
Derpy Show.
She reminded me that you said you worked at P.F. Chang's.
Yes.
We have noticed eating at P.F. Chang's and Payway.
It's MSG. All, I'm joking.
Shit, I still have a gift card.
All of
place.
The food tastes the same.
Not exactly the same.
I know what you're pretty much about. The same, but
it's the Chang sauce. I know what you're talking about.
Ooh. Okay, so it is a
it's just
a
the
sauce.
Chang sauce, yeah.
That
it's
they
like
put it in everything.
Yeah, it's like a soy sauce. Like soy sauce, sugar, water,
bullshit.
Yeah, like sesame oil and stuff like that.
Okay, I thought there was some sesame
yeah,
oil.
It's one of those like mix-up sauces thing.
Okay, so they literally do put that in everything.
They do put it in most things. Yeah, that's like it seems like it's in most things. It's been a few months. Like,
I always get pissed off every time I eat there because I'm like, why does everything taste the goddamn same?
Yeah,
like no matter what you get, I get a sweet and sour thing, or I get like, what did I get? I got crab fried rice, and she got curry noodles, and they tasted identical. I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah, I haven't worked. Like, I luckily was able to stop working there 6 months ago, almost now.
That's pretty rad.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, to not work there anymore, it was nice.
Yeah, so I'm glad I found somebody that worked at P.F. Chang's, so I could ask that.
That's been an important question with Boar.
It has. It's been like gnawing at my soul ever since I've eaten there.
First world problems.
Derpy Show.
Oh yeah, because it's fucking forever.
Yeah.
It takes all the length of
train
risk.
Break.
We gotta harmonize more of this. It's gonna be like
it's just a song.
Oh. Lay a 4/4 beat for us. That's gonna sound like a folksy, like Eastern European remix.
Yeah, that's Singer Ross mixed with the
Colorados.
Fuck the guys. And what are those guys? The biggest band? Those
Bjork. I love Bjork.
No, the biggest like
Jonesy.
They just hit the fucking kick and they sang about that stuff with the raspy voice.
Thousands of Baroque pop resurgence guys.
Yes,
play
the
oh, like Mumford and Sons.
Yeah, that's what
those fucking guys. There's Fleet Foxes. There's that harmonic.
Yeah.
I mean,
well, I was like, wait, the folksy guys are just do this? Oh, that's Mumford.
Just go to fucking like Oak Street in New Orleans and sit there on a Sunday afternoon.
Now that we just said Singer Ross mixed with Mumford and Son, it's gonna happen and it's gonna be our goddamn fault.
Oh no!
Derpy Show.
So I guess we asked him everything that we want to ask him, so I guess we can just release him.
Yes.
You have to promise not to press charges, though.
No, yeah, just cue the duct tape.
Actually, I get the roofies in. He's good.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure if we just tie him, like, spin him in a circle a whole bunch and push him out into the wild, he'll find his way home, but not his way back.
I got a van we could dump him out of.
Part of the agreement.
Spin her, too, because she's the one that drove here.
Oh, no, she's an accomplice.
Yeah,
she's
good. She's good. She's good.
Part of the agreement, while he was in the back of the vehicle, the reason that he was so cooperative, he wanted to plug some stuff.
Oh, yeah, because you said at the end I could be like, go to my Facebook. You can find it. I'm joking. It's facebook.com/ProfessorShyGuyMusic. Like, that's where you can find most things. I have ProfessorShyGuy.com, but Facebook I'm always updating, and that's where I put, if I think of something dumb as hell, I'll post it there, or silly picture or whatever. Or just type Professor Shy Guy into YouTube, and you'll find a handful of stuff. Videos that I've worked on.
Cool.
The Science Life and ABC is what I'm super. That's one of those. It's like people like the songs, and I get it. But that's one I was like, I put so much goddamn work into that song because all the first two verses are in alphabetical order. Sorry, the first verse is A to Z twice. Words are in alphabetical order. Z to A twice for the second verse, and then it's like every second syllable is the following letter.
That's deep.
Like about.
Yeah,
that's some like deep shit.
Become condoned.
That's the second. It's
kind of like how Tool did the whole Fibonacci sequence.
That's such a cool song.
Mind blown.
Whenever my friend showed me the video of that being like laid out, I was like,
and the time signatures and everything. And the notes and everything too. I'm just like, oh my god. Really good. That's when I started listening to Tool.
Yeah, I can't be like, I'm like Tool. But in a similar way, I did a song with a pattern.
Well then, as we kick our Professor Shy Guy out of the studio and into the van, we'll leave you guys with this wonderful little track of his. It's called...
What's it again? Science Life and ABCs.
Science Life and ABCs.
It's apparently a little bit about religion.
A little bit too. Now quickly, get him out before the roofies run off.
Synthesis, which is relatively slow, then ultimately vanishes when actual zero. All beings consumed, death eventually follows, grows hollow and burst. It keeps life moving, no other leave a verse. Quandary really stops the universe. Further within, zerophilic yearnings in. I just wanna learn enough to discern how I perceive things to do and don't believe. All I have is time and an infinite mind. What I need, science, life, and ABC. Zoom your X-ray, unique to transformation. Save radiation, quit precise operations now. Mankind loses kindness, just invents. Health grows, hormones evolve. Different than centuries back, the zodiac shield is xenophobia. But very useful, thriving science, raising quotas. Receiving more distance, latitude kept for just instance. Having good fields of sleep, despite circles, bad attitude. I just wanna learn enough to discern how I perceive things I do and don't believe. All I have is time and an infinite mind. What I need, science, life, and ABC.
Show is made possible by a comic shop, Nerdapalooza, and the generous support of listeners like you. As listener-supported entertainment, we rely on you to keep this and other shows on the Nerdy Show Network alive by telling a friend, rating and reviewing us on iTunes, or making a contribution in our monthly support drive. Any size contribution gets you exclusive Nerdy Show audio and images, which lets you participate in our monthly support drives. Just go to nerdyshow.com/support to chip in. For more episodes of Derby Show, as well as other fine programs, community forums, videos, articles, and more, head over to nerdyshow.com. You can subscribe to all Nerdy Show Network podcasts via the iTunes Store, whatever the hell that is. And for the latest news, follow us on all of your favorite social networks. What the fuck is a social network?
But, Headless Horseman, don't you know what those are? They're how you get ahead on the internet.
Your puns shall make me kill you now!
Ah! Come to Nerd at the Leafs.
I don't know how that's gonna be.
It's gonna be pretty sensitive. You're gonna hear the lips. No, that's gonna be the beginning.
Is a wind guard on it?
It's gonna be so God!
Whoa.
And that's what necrophilia sounds like.
When you say the anal thing, put that noise down.
You have a door slamming.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.